The filming of Mission Impossible 6 in London has been put on hold. It's because Tom Cruise broke his ankle during a stunt. He was hurt while filming a jump between two buildings. Of course, if Tom wants to take on a really impossible mission, he should try explaining the plots of the last five Mission Impossible films.
This is London Calling.
I'm Graham Mack and welcome to the programme. And big news this week, if you visit London in the next 4 years, you won't hear this. The bell that's been telling the time in London for 158 years. Big Ben. The bell is going to be silenced on Monday. It's because repairs are being done on the clock. Now, this is good news for headline writers. They can finally use that headline they've been sitting on and thought they were going to have to use for a story about Boris Johnson. Westminster Bell End. I was gobsmacked that no one even asked to see if I had tickets. That's what a dad said after him and his daughter made it into the 200 metres final at the World Athletics Championships in London. Now, these tickets, front row tickets, are £95 each, and he just bunked in. Didn't pay, just walked in. Unbelievable. When have you done this? When have you snuck in somewhere without paying and got away with it? What's your story, Sarah?
Well, we did stay in this hotel once in Derbyshire. We went up there and we had some friends who live in Derbyshire and we met up with them. And it's one of those kind of big hotels, like a country hotel, and there are about three different weddings happening while we were there. And one by one, we snuck into all of the weddings.
You gate crashed at three different weddings.
Three weddings in one night. But we got caught because the last wedding we snuck into, the friends we met up with who lived there knew them.
Oh, no! Not the perfect crime!
No, but they had been, they were like looking at them to think, we didn't invite you, why are you here, and who are the people you're with, and it was all just a bit awkward.
But, dear.
Yeah, we got loads of food, drink, it was great.
Drinking at airports is out of control. The British can't handle their drink. They get drunk any chance they get. And they drink the most when they're on vacation. The first chance they get is in the airport. If I have to catch a flight early in the morning, I'm always amazed how packed the bar is. About 270 million passengers passed through UK airports last year and spent an estimated $439 million on alcohol, around a fifth of total retail sales in British airports is on booze. Arrests of passengers suspected of being drunk at UK airports and on flights has risen 50% year on year. A total of 387 people were arrested between February 2016 and February 2017, up from 255 the previous year. The Civil Aviation Authority reported a 600% increase in disruptive passenger incidents in the UK between 2012 and 2016, with most involving drink. More than half of cabin crew surveyed said they'd witnessed disruptive drunken passenger behaviour. People who get drunk before they get on a plane are not nervous flyers. They're scared of being sober. Something changed in this country. I left the UK in 1983, went to live in New Zealand and Australia, and back then people used to be embarrassed about getting drunk. The next day, they'd apologise and say, "Ooh, I think I had one too many last night." Or they might say something quaint like, "Ooh, I hope I didn't embarrass myself. I think I was a bit tipsy." Then I came back to Britain in 1997. Things had changed. People bragged about being drunk. The next day, they'd say, "Oh, I was so wasted last night. I came home and I threw up in the frying pan." Call me nostalgic, but I miss the embarrassment and the shame. I don't like seeing drunks at the airport. I miss the old days, when the most disgusting example of drinking you'd see at the airport was an old bloke slurping his tea out of a saucer.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
News from the Antarctic now, and a piece of fruitcake has been found. They reckon it's from the ill-fated Robert Falcon Scott expedition to the South Pole. Let's face it, you'd have to be crazy to do something like that, wouldn't you be, you know, making your way across frozen tundra? Falcon Scott died attempting to do this. So it turns out this is not the only decomposing fruitcake in Antarctica. What, too soon?
A little piece of Britain is going to die. Red foam boxes. There's hardly anything more British than little red payphone boxes. But this week, British Telecom announced they're going to scrap 20,000 payphones, and thousands of those are in red phone boxes. You know, the traditional red phone box became an endangered species way before everyone had a cell phone. In the 90s, a lot of them were replaced by sleek stainless steel jobs. Yuppies bought up the red phone boxes and used them as shower cubicles in their Dockland flats. The irony is that the new shiny silver ones that replaced them on our streets look more like shower cubicles. When all of the red phone boxes have been replaced, the real problem is going to be at night, when drunks have nowhere to pee.
Ken's on the phone, sounding very chipper. What's the secret to happiness, Ken?
Well, it was alcohol, but getting out in the fresh air, walking. Yeah. Went to the cinema last night.
What'd you see?
The new film, Atomic Blonde.
Atomic.
Not that good.
Yeah, I didn't fancy that. That's the one with, who's in that?
Charlize Theron.
That's right. It looks like it's kind of a spoofy secret agent-y shoot-em-up,
yeah,
car chasey
right,
thing.
Yeah. I saw Dunkirk the other week. That was brilliant.
Oh, now I've heard good things about that. Was it Gary that called up the other week, or Mick? I can't remember. I think it was Gary called up and said at the end of it there were people in the cinema in tears.
It was a cracking film.
It's a good film, is it?
Brilliant. It's worth seeing.
Because I saw that the other night. I watched that Churchill. I thought that one was rubbish.
Well, I haven't seen that.
No, don't bother. It's not that good.
Okay.
It's really not that good. It's just people shouting at Churchill and calling him an old fool while he's our wartime leader. I don't know.
He was a great leader at the time.
He was a great leader, yeah. And I don't know whether this is more accurate or what. I just thought it was disrespectful. I just didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. But you say Dunkirk, that's a belter.
An absolute cracking film.
What, because of the historical context or because it's just a great film?
Well acted, well directed.
Yeah.
Cinematography was fantastic.
Isn't Harry Styles in it, though?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Is he any good?
Yes.
Is he? Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, as not a fan of One Direction, I was surprised.
Right, okay. All right. So you can definitely recommend Dunkirk.
Definitely, cracking film.
All right, well, thanks for the tip, then. Cheers, Ken.
You take care, Grub.
Thanks,
bye.
Mate. News this week that a British contortionist is retiring at the age of 22 because she's tired of all the bruises she gets from climbing inside a pickle jar every night. Yeah, she works in the Circus of Horrors and she's given it all up. Imagine that, though. That's your claim to fame. You climb inside a pickle jar. What's your claim to fame? Jane.
I've written a book.
My goodness! I've always said that I have the smartest listeners. But a listener that writes a damn book. What's the book? Is it fiction, non-fiction?
It's poetry.
You've written a book of poetry.
I have. And it's just, and I got the first copy in my hand yesterday.
That must be something else.
It's like all your birthdays and Christmases have come at once.
Wow.
I know, and it's available on Amazon. Like, you can go on Amazon and there's my book.
Now, is this independently published, or is there a publisher behind this?
It's independently published.
Which is the way to go these days. Cut out all those commissions and stuff.
Well, Graham, I wasn't sure I'd live long enough to go through and not find a publisher. And
right.
Wait the 300 years whilst they then rejected it, so I had to go and find another. So, but it's on Amazon and stuff, and can I tell you what it's called?
Absolutely.
It's called Whispered Words.
Whispered Words.
By Jane C. Steele.
Oh, I like the way you've used the initial there.
Well, there's another story behind that. There's two Jane Steeles.
Yes, but Jane C. Steele, that's a proper author's name.
It is.
Isn't it?
The other Jane C. Steele, Jane Steele, is also a poet.
I see, right.
And she's been on Coronation Street, so she's, like, more famous than me.
Right.
At the moment.
Right.
And so I said, we were in touch at a poetry thing, and so I said, well, look, I'll use my middle initial. It's C for Caroline.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you're not going to believe this. I, too, am Caroline Jane.
Yes, but she is not the famous...
But she's not the same name, Jane Caroline Steele.
That's an amazing coincidence. But she's not the famous Jane C. Steele.
No, she hasn't written a book like what I have.
Okay, well, you're going to have to... Before you give us all the details on how we can get the book, you're going to have to give us your favourite poem. You're going to have to perform it for us, out of the book, a poem that's in the book.
Yeah, I have. Okay. You know, funnily enough, I just have a copy, right?
How about that?
Well, no, it's kind of, I slept with it last night.
Oh.
It's called My Mother's Chakras.
Okay.
Do you know what a chakra is?
No.
It's a bit sort of health food weirdy. It's your energy lines. Your body has chakras and they're your energy lines.
Okay.
So it's not conventional.
Okay.
This is called My Mother's Chakras. Let me sit down.
Okay.
Because I'm plastered in the garden. Right. My chakras aren't right, Mum announced over a cup of tea. I'd said, you're a bit down of late, expecting the usual cold or bug or something I ate. But no, it's the chakras. They're blocked, you see. It's her energy that's not free-flowing. She isn't right. She can't get going. A feeling of discombobulation. Disquiet, discomfort. Disassociation. Shall we call the doctor and get some medication? Will that help with your debilitation? No, no, she snapped. Don't prevaricate. I need to go to Harrogate. Now, with my mother, you don't ask why. So, for the minute, I let that one lie. Having dismissed the doctor, the vicar, her dealer, she decided she needed to see a healer in order to have her chakras aligned. And if convenient, would I mind taking her there at once, post-haste, before they became even further displaced. So if you have blocked chakras, God forbid, you can see a healer in Harrogate for £60.
That is lovely. And is that typical of what the poems are like in the book?
There's some funny ones.
Yes.
That's classed as a funny one, in case you haven't.
No, I like it.
There's some serious ones.
Uh-huh.
And there's some sad ones and all sorts of ones and anything in between ones.
If we want to get a copy of this book of poetry by Jane C. Steele, what do we look for on Amazon?
We click in Whispered Words or Jane C. Steele. And I've probably only sold about one copy, and that might be to me.
Mm-mm. Yeah, well, you know.
Or my mum, who is busy showing everybody her poem.
Yes.
And it'll be on that page. It won't probably be at the top, let's be realistic, but...
By the end of the day.
By the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it's £7.50.
What a bargain.
I remember, it's free delivery.
What a bargain. Do they do it as an e-book version as well?
No, I can do. I haven't yet, because... Mm-hmm. I have to rejig the entire book. It's got colour photos in and things.
I see.
And the e-Kindle format is way different to a published in your hand format.
There's a survey out this week of etiquette faux pas. Things to avoid if you're at an important, you know, meal like a date or, you know, a business meeting or something. You shouldn't click your fingers to get the waiter's attention. You shouldn't lick your knife. You shouldn't talk with your mouth full, which is difficult when they come past and go, is everything okay? So there's a whole list of these things. What's your etiquette faux pas story? Bonzi.
Well, he was an old boy. He didn't really look after himself, but he come to one of the I think it's someone's anniversary, so half the lads in the warehouse and everything was there.
Yeah.
And their wives.
Uh-huh.
And we're all sitting at home, like, well, you don't need to go. I'll go and get a big plate of grub, which I did.
Yeah.
And he's quite happy sitting there eating all this grub, you know, he's smart, lifts half up and everything. But some of the grub was a bit tough.
Right.
And if you imagine, we're all sitting around this table opposite each other and everything, and he suddenly took his top set of teeth out, rinsed them in his pint of beer, put it in one pocket, took the other set out, rinsed it in there, and put it in another pocket. It was unbelievable.
He took his teeth out, top set first, then bottom set, and rinsed them out in his pint of beer.
Yes, and then put them in his pocket and carried on eating.
With no teeth.
My mate sitting off to him said, "Wow, suddenly I'm not hungry." It was horrible. It was horrible, honest.
Oh, dear. Well, how did he eat with no teeth then?
Oh, he just bounced it around his gums.
Oh, what? Oh, Bonzi. Thank you so much. Jackie, you've got a question.
Is it better to be a really stupid person? You know, the type that have no care in the world,
yeah,
stop in the middle of a shopping aisle? Or is it better to be intelligent and have worries?
That's right, because they say, you know, ignorance is bliss.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, is it better to be, or, you know, when you know too much, you're not happy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, because then you worry.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because you have a mind, and your mind actually works. Whereas if you're a stupid person that seems to let everything go over the head and is so laid back, they're horizontal, they don't seem to have any worries.
No, and they don't seem to have an appreciation of cause and effect. They don't seem to realise that their actions have some kind of effect on the world. And so they just do whatever they like. They just park wherever they like, and they just, you know, stop and chat in a doorway, and they're just...
Exactly my point. And you get these, you know, there's so many people, you go in all parts of life, and you go into a place and you think, how have you even got a job?
Yes.
You think,
how did you even get up this morning and dress yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm surprised you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Exactly my point.
I don't know. It's frightening how many of these people there are about, isn't it?
I know. I followed someone this morning down the road, right? Now they pulled out. You know, like one of those people that wait, and they sit at a turning and they wait and they wait and they wait, and they could have pulled out, you know, with plenty of time. And they wait until you're just nearly there. And then they pull out and they go 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Right? But as they pulled out, they actually went up the curb.
Yeah.
Absolutely no need to. And then continue to drive at 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had the bliss of the ignorant and the stupid, but I'm glad I'm not that way.
Yeah, see, this was my thought, you know.
Yeah.
Is it better to be...
I don't think it's
morals and standards.
I don't think it's better. I think it's better to be normal. Although, unfortunately, because there are so many idiots, idiots is the new normal. And
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
Jackie, thank you very much.
Not a problem, Graham.
A Canadian story made the news in Britain this week, and it could confirm the existence of a fourth dimension. It was a lady who lost her engagement ring about 13 years ago. Well, now she's found it. It was on a carrot. On Monday, her daughter-in-law pulled up a lumpy carrot from the garden, and there was the ring around the carrot. Now, you may have an example of when the fourth dimension came into play. You ever lost something, and it goes missing for ages? And then it suddenly just shows up, usually somewhere you've already looked. It means it was dwelling in the fourth dimension and randomly has returned. Karen, a spooky thing happened to you.
I don't know about the fourth dimension, Graham, but people, when I like go around to their houses, they lose things, and I can generally find their things. When it comes to my own, it's a different matter.
So you'll go around to their house and give me an example of what's happened.
Well, like a pair of glasses, I don't know.
Someone's going, I can't find my glasses.
Have you seen the cufflinks? Have you, then when you've been going around, have you, I don't know, seen whatever? And then during the course of when I'm there, I actually managed to find their things, which is
And are you
strange.
Are you deliberately looking for them, or do they just appear?
Well, some of them do as I'm going around, but quite often they don't. So they might have gone, I don't know, behind.
Right. And with your own stuff, your own stuff goes missing and you can't find your own stuff.
Yeah.
Right. You know what this means?
Was actually an exception of,
yes.
Once I thought it'd be a good idea to put some money somewhere just in case I ever need it.
Yeah.
So I put it where I put it. And then I went to look for it when I got desperate for some money, and I looked everywhere, literally everywhere. I was like tearing the whole out of the house apart, thinking, I know where I put that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at the end of the day, it landed up in some of my old jewellery, which I don't wear. So I don't know why the hell I put it in there. But
yeah, you didn't.
I obviously did.
You did. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't.
No.
See,
no. So I was not pleased when I found my money.
This proves once again of the existence of the fourth dimension, where things go missing too, and then after a while, they come back. Now.
Yeah.
It turns out that you, Linda, are a mobile, walking, fourth dimension portal.
Right, okay.
And
I should be actually charging for this, shouldn't
I? Yeah, what happens is, you go round to your friend's house, right, and they've lost something, like a pair of glasses.
Right.
And obviously the glasses have gone to the fourth dimension. Then they return through you, and then you notice them first, right? Because circumstantial evidence is overwhelming here.
It's a bit spooky. It's almost like poltergeist.
Well, it's scientific. This is scientific now. We're talking about parallel universes here.
So,
in your own life, that money, you know where you put it, but unfortunately, it somehow got sucked up into some kind of vortex and through the portal into the fourth dimension that you have upon you, and then it returned, just like it did with other stuff, into the jewellery box, just like with other people's stuff. Yes, Linda, you are a phenomenon.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yes, but please use your powers
for the... I've got another string to my bow, have I?
Yes, but please use your powers for the forces of good and not for evil.
Right. No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Linda, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, have a good day.
Wow. Let's check in with international voice actor Jim McCabe via Skype in Philadelphia.
Bon Jovi.
How are things?
Good.
Looking forward
to you.
Yeah, I think things are ticking along. I think everything is going as well as could be expected. Yeah, I think. I have to go to the dentist today.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
The thing that annoys me about the dentist is I went last week just for a checkup.
Yeah.
It costs £52 because he decides to take a couple of x-rays. Well, I never said to him, hey, look, I've got a bit of pain there. Can you x-ray it? He took two x-rays. There's no pain, is it? He just decided, let me just top this up.
Sure. Yeah. This is going to be done.
Yeah, because of the way that dentists calculate their bills, which is, of course, they take the price of a brand new Porsche 911 and they divide that by the amount of patients they estimate they'll have that year. And whatever that figure is, that's what you pay. And so instead of just paying for a regular checkup, I had to have two x-rays when there was nothing wrong with my teeth. He said, you got any problems? I said, no. All right, I'll have to take a couple of x-rays. So he takes a couple of x-rays, and then he's all finished. He says, yeah, your teeth are in good shape. You need to go to the hygienist. I'll book you an appointment for next week. So now I'm going to go today. I don't know what that costs, but I don't think there'll be much change out of about £30, maybe about the same, maybe another 50. Who knows? But what annoys me about the hygienist is they always say to me, you need to be brushing back here a little bit more, and you need to be flossing, you need to be doing this. I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm paying you to clean my teeth, and you're telling me I'm not doing it properly. If I was, I know I'm not doing it properly. That is like going to a car wash.
You've got to do my job better. You know what?
Yeah.
Get back here better so the next time I don't have to do this as much.
It's like going to a car wash and have the fella say, you know, you really should be washing under these sills a bit more. You know, I'm paying you to do that. Every 6 months I pay to have a checkup. Every 6 months they refer me to the hygienist. She cleans my teeth and then tells me off for not cleaning my teeth as well as she can. Well, of course I don't clean my teeth as well as You do. You've got a, like this pneumatic drill thing with a high-speed brush on it and a water jet. If I had that in the bathroom, yes, I wouldn't need to come here. But you've got the tools.
You've gone to school for this. This is your career. This is not my career.
That's right.
If I'd done this,
yeah,
you'd be out of business.
You've got like some kind of water pick thing there and some chemicals. What have I got? I got a plastic toothbrush with bristles on the end that I push backwards and forwards manually. This is why I'm coming here. Just do the job and shut up. So that's what I'm looking forward to today.
And that'll be two more X-rays. I need new tires.
Yeah, yeah, could well be the thing. And what kind of job is a tooth hygienist? Isn't that just kind of part of being a dentist? That you drill them, fill them, bill them, and surely you clean them as well, don't you? Oh no, that's a specialized job. This guy, he can do X-rays. That's not a specialized job. No, he can do X-rays. Oh yeah, but he can't do cleaning. Is that below him? Is that beneath him?
Oh yes, but as soon as you get to do X-rays, no, you're way past cleaning then. No.
Oh, I see. Once you've got that ticket, once you've got that little certificate on the wall, you don't need to do cleaning anymore.
It's in the fine print. It's right in the bottom. You're clear to do X-rays, which means no more cleaning.
Yeah, but
I don't think
that the hygienist works their way up to full dentist. It's like dentist never works his way up to full doctor. You know?
Yeah.
What it's all about.
A hygienist is not a dentist. Is not an apprentice dentist.
No, but that would be a good job for a trainee dentist, wouldn't it? We'll start you out with the cleaning.
Wouldn't it?
Once you get the hang of that, we'll move you up to the root canals. You know?
I think that's how construction works, you know? Okay, we're going to start. If you're going to sweep around, you're going to clean up after us.
Yep. Yep, that's how it works. That's how it works with apprentices, with Jedi Knights. It's a system that we have where you start.
You're going to do the manual labor for a while.
Yeah. Wax on, wax off. We start there. We work our way up.
And go get some coffee and several teeth.
Yeah. And go and take the lunch order and go up the road to the takeaway at the fish and chip shop and take everybody's order. That's where you start. Not in dentistry. Oh no. Not in dentistry. And how can you, I mean, he's an older guy, the guy I go to. How can he be doing that job all his life? He's now in his 50s, his late 50s, and it's still called a practice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Have you had enough practice? Do you think you might have got the hang of this by now? Because if you haven't, I want to go to a bloke who has.
Yeah, it's all practice. It's a legal practice.
Yes. I don't want someone who's practicing. My life is not a rehearsal.
Why am I paying you 200 quid an hour for you to practice?
Yeah.
You should not be practicing anymore.
And if you've been practicing for this long, I don't think you're going to get it right.
When do you get it right? At what point do you say, I'm done practicing?
Yeah, no, he's been practicing for a long time.
That's called retiring. But you go from practicing to retiring. There should be some professional career in there.
Yeah, should be. Hey, talking of retiring, this morning I thought of a good definition for people who retire, because I do not plan to retire. I have found something I like doing and I get paid for it. Why would I stop voluntarily?
I'm in the same boat.
You know, if I was forced to retire because I couldn't talk or write or think, okay. But to voluntarily go, well, I could keep doing this, but I'm going to stop. Clearly, the people who retire are people who don't like what they do. My definition of someone who retires is someone who failed to monetize their hobby.
Ah.
Because what they're going to do is they're not going to do nothing. They're going to do something. They're going to play golf, or they're going to build a tower bridge out of matchsticks, or they're going to, you know, what retired people do. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
But they're not going to get paid for it. They're going to do something they love, but they're not going to get paid for it. People who retire are basically just people who never worked out how to monetize their hobby. That's all they are.
That's good. Yeah.
And in my book, that makes them a failure.
I like that. Yeah. And, well, I like that because I have monetized my hobby.
Exactly.
So I'm on the other side of that.
Exactly. You know, and so we shouldn't. Some people seem to admire people who retire. Oh, he's retired. Oh, all right, he's retired. We should feel sorry for. He's retired. Oh, has he? Oh, what a shame. He couldn't work it out. That thing he does, he couldn't work out how to make money at that. He sees because he's still doing it.
Worked his whole life in vain, did he? Oh, that's such a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He worked his whole life doing the wrong thing because he's not retired from doing the stuff he likes. He's still doing that. He's still playing golf or bowls or macrame or whatever it is he does. He's still doing that. He was doing that while he was working. He just wasn't doing that for work. Someone who retires is someone who failed to monetize their hobby. That's all they are. Because they still have their hobby. And they still don't make any money at it. They're still not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about perspective.
Definitions, and I figured out another. I'd forgotten about it. I was watching a show. And they have fake commercials in it.
Oh, yeah.
And the company is called Viridian Dynamics. And the tagline on this commercial was, Viridian Dynamics, we keep our employees gruntled.
Ah.
There's disgruntled.
Yes.
But there is no gruntled.
But gruntled doesn't sound like a happy word.
No. We keep our employees gruntled. That's the that's the opposite of disgruntled.
Yes,
so gruntled
I like
is
it.
Happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was just sitting around last night and figured, disconcerting. Oh, that's quite disconcerting. Well, nothing is concerting.
Nothing is concerting. But things are disconcerting. We've mentioned nonchalant before, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's no chalant.
There's no chalant.
No. And there's pamphlet, but no pamph. There is omelette, but no om.
And there's no leet, but there's deleet.
Yes, there is. There's delete, but there's no leet.
Oh, can you leet me to that list? Can you what?
There's one that kind of doesn't make sense. The one the Daleks say. Exterminate. Surely, if you terminate, you end. Or kill. Terminate, to terminate. If you exterminate, isn't that the opposite of terminate?
Yeah, isn't that to make live then? Exterminate?
Yeah.
Or it's reanimating.
It's like reanimation.
It's something that's terminated and now we're exterminating it. So we're bringing it back to life.
Yes. Because otherwise it's the X is redundant. You can just say terminate. You don't need to say exterminate. What's that one about?
Yeah, and that entire profession is redundant then. We're the exterminators. We're here to get rid of all the bugs.
Yeah.
No, you're here to terminate the bugs.
Sure.
Exterminate them.
Yeah.
I don't certainly not want more bugs.
That's right.
Just terminate
them. Don't exterminate them. Don't go around and bring them all back to life. I've paid you to kill them. I just don't know.
There's something else that I've never understood. Flammable and inflammable.
There you
mean
go.
The same thing.
They do too.
How?
What is the difference?
How can inflammable mean flammable?
Surely inflammable means fireproof.
Yeah.
What does there is no unflammable? I don't know. Is there an opposite of flammable that still uses flammable? Just like there's an opposite of most other things.
It's just flammable. It's what? It's capable of being inflamed. It's inflammable. Well,
yeah.
What about flammable? Oh, no, that's the same.
Yeah. Someone needs to take a good, hard look at our language and just go, this bit just doesn't make sense. And then don't get me onto things that don't even have names. A washing machine doesn't have a name, you know.
Dishwasher.
Yeah.
Just put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah. No name.
That's what it does. That's not what it is. Well, no. It's just the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's like we've just given up.
At that point, you might as well. Oh, I'm going to be over on the city thing.
Yeah.
In the sofa. Yeah, the city thing.
Yeah. It's going out of my driving machine. Just not right. I suppose screwdriver really doesn't have a name either.
Yeah.
Anything like that. You know, you don't call a spanner or a wrench a nut driver. It's a spanner or a wrench. Screwdriver? No.
A saw?
Yeah.
That's what it does. A saw is just a... what does it do? It saws things.
Saw's an odd one because it's a noun and a verb. Whereas, like, wrench or spanner, you can't say I'm going to wrench... Oh, I suppose you can say wrench. I don't think you say spanner something, though. I don't know.
No. You can say, you wrench down on that a bit tighter, but you don't spanner down on it tighter.
No, you don't. Or socket set down on it a bit tighter. Or ratchet drive it a bit tighter. I don't know. Ratchet is an unfortunate one because it's too close to rat shit. Isn't it? Yeah. This is a ratchet wrench. What's wrong with it? It's all right. It's a good one. Yeah, it's a ratchet.
Could you get me a ratchet? What did you want?
Yeah.
Because one's fairly easy. One's going to take me a while.
Yes. Yeah. A ratchet screwdriver. That looks like a good one to me.
Could you get me the larger ratchet screwdriver? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to find a larger rat first, but just give me a minute.
Yeah.
Ratchet.
It does need a lot of work. The English language, they need to, like, you know, get a load of really clever people in a room and just go through the dictionary. A to Z, you just go right the way through with every word and just go, wait a second. Washing machine. This isn't a word. This isn't a name. This is not what it does. We'll have to come up with something. And then cows and bulls. Well, we need a name for this animal. Poor thing hasn't got a name. Just going to have to do that.
Well, at least within English, we do come up with new words.
Yes.
Things.
Yeah.
And as opposed to something like German, where they just add 17 words together, and that's one word now.
Well, German to me is just the ultimate comedy language. I don't speak German, and I don't know much German, but the bits I know, I find hilarious. For instance, the word for being unwell or sick is krank. And a hospital is a Krankenhausen, and an ambulance is a Krankenwagen. I mean,
Krankenwagen.
It's like Mel Brooks wrote the German language.
Yeah.
Because if you were going to write a comedy language, what are we going to have for the word for being sick or unwell? Well, crank. That's a funny word. I'm feeling a bit crank today. Straight away, that's a funny word. Well, what are we going to call a hospital? Let's call it a Krankenhausen. Okay, what about an ambulance? A Krankenwagen. Brilliant.
Krankenwagen.
It has been written, the German language has been written by, it's like, let's spell all the C words with K. Because it'll just look funnier on the paper. Yeah, Capitan.
Yeah, wait, how does English spell that? Oh, with a C? No, we're going to do it with a K.
Do it with a K.
K is a funny letter.
Funny word. It just makes it look funnier. It's just brilliant. It was written by, the German language was invented by someone like Mel Brooks. Someone who enjoyed that sense of humor. The bloke that wrote, it's not Igor, it's pronounced Igor. He decided what the German language...
He came
language,
up with Krankenwagen.
Definitely.
Oh, he should have done.
I mean, that you know...
There's something I looked up years ago. I forget where what dictionary I was looking in. But the word pumpernickel.
Mm-hmm. Funny word.
It comes from two German words.
Mm.
Nickel, which means is a goblin.
Mm-hmm.
And pumpern, which means to fart. So pumpernickel is goblin fart bread or farting goblin bread.
Wow. Wow.
How did that come about?
Yeah.
This tastes great. Yeah, it tastes like a goblin fart. You might as well call it pumpernickel. Yeah.
Well, talking of Germans and farting, here's more proof that the German language was written by a comedy writer. Your dad, if you think about all of the people in your life that knew how to fart, it would be your dad. Your dad would give you the old pull my finger. Your dad, as far as all of the people that you ever met, your father was the person who knew how to fart. in German, the word father is Vater. I mean... Well, that's it for this one. Next time, it's part two of my chat with Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Graham Mac. If you want to hear more Mac Nuggets, check out my website, macmedia.co.uk, and subscribe to my Bob FM show on Apple Podcasts. Got a question or something you want to say? Send me an email. Put your phone number or your Skype details in the email. I might talk to you on the show. My email address is graham@macmedia.co.uk, and you spell Graham like the cracker, Mac like the truck. Till next time, ta-da.